Today's episode of Distorted View Daily features additional content for Sideshow members only. Ting!
Eat the poo-poo!
I've waited so long for this party in my pants to be unleashed!
It's Sextastic Tuesday.
Chew on your own foreskin, yeah.
Every pussy looks like a toilet to me. A big shitty toilet. As long as you let me shoot a wad on your jugs, pour some cock coffee in your little cup mug.
Don't you try to fuck my tits now.
Yeah.
Don't you try to fuck my tits now.
Daddy's right here.
Yeah.
Penis. I beat my big fucking penis. Penis. I beat my big fucking penis.
Yeah!
Beautiful goddamn fucking cock.
I fuck dead pig.
Don't. It's made of horse urine.
Suck my dead pig.
It's just a fun thing.
Crystal meth loose up in my mouth.
It's smelling like a milkshake.
Assholes.
That was beautiful, precious.
Timmy Boo.
My big, fat, nasty ass in a thong.
Bitch, 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 bitch.
My sweet turd. My sweet turd.
Yes, hey freaks, Tim Benson back here with you for the Tuesday edition of DV. Got a brand new Sextastic Tuesday story. We'll get into that in just a moment. But before that, I would like to put something to rest. We've been talking a lot about fecal vomiting and if it's real, if you can really puke up poop. A couple listeners sent in some links, and yes, it turns out you can puke up shit. And it's called fecal vomiting. According to the definition here on the Medical Dictionary Reference Guide website, the vomiting of fecal matter that has been drawn into the stomach from the intestine by spasmodic contractions of the gastric muscles. That's what fecal vomiting is. So basically, you're digesting food. It's in your stomach, moves its way to the intestines, on its truck to the bowels. But then, the poop reverses course, basically, because of contractions, right? And it starts pushing it back up into the stomach, and once it's in the stomach, then it pushes up through the esophagus and out your mouth, and that's when you puke up shit. This all stemmed from Alexis K. Tyler talking about how one of her family members died of fecal vomiting.
I'm piloting the pussy. See, y'all got to be a pilot over the pussy, y'all.
Well, it's kind of on a different topic, but thank you, Alexis K. Tyler. Let's get into Sextastic Tuesday. This is a stupid bit where I try to find strange or disgusting or just poorly written pieces of erotic fiction, and then I read them to you. Today I've actually got an hors d'oeuvre Sextastic Tuesday story and then a main course. Oh, that's right, you came on a good night. The first story is very short. It's what we call a binder story because the chick who discovered this shit was cleaning out a house and found a binder full of sex stories that the previous tenant or owner wrote, but then forgot to take the notebook with them when they moved out. So let's get into it right now. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you Sextastic Twos, John.
It's Sextastic.
This is an untitled story. Socrates heard a knock at the door. He had only just gotten up. His foreskin hadn't been pulled back properly yet, and he was reluctant to answer. He didn't want to answer the door because his foreskin wasn't pulled back, but the knocking was imperative, and he forced himself into the foyer. "Who is it?" he called. "Carter McCrum," said it. His name's Carter McCrum. "Carter McCrum," said an unfamiliar voice in a melodious French. Socrates opened the door. The man before him was the most beautiful in the entire world. "Are you a prostitute?" said Socrates, and because that's what you would say to someone that you don't know standing in your doorway. "No," said McCrum in French. Again, this person is obsessed with the French. The person who's writing these binder stories always includes a French aspect. All right. No, said McCrum in French, but you could be.
What?
So they decided to fuck. Not for the first time. Socrates was glad that men had external genitalia.
What?
I don't understand anything that's going on here. Not for the first time, Socrates was glad that men had external genitalia, as Carter stirred a tub of KY into his anus. He knew his ass plops were appealing. Again, I don't know what ass plops are, but I don't want to find out. He studied them in the mirror. They bulged like testicles. Maybe polyps? Ass polyps? All right, so he knew his ass plops were appealing. Nothing called ass plops could be appealing. He studied them in the mirror. They bulged like testicles. It was the best ass he knew of. Oh, maybe like ass plops are like his ass cheeks. I don't know. Why bother trying to interpret this stupidity? It was the best ass he knew of. Carter massaged them with lubricant. Looks like I'd better dam you up before you flood the village, said Carter, and they both laughed.
Well, of course.
Then Carter penetrated Socrates and they fucked. Socrates' moaning was as rhythmic as a child's rhyme. Ring around the rectum, clad in silken denim, members, members, they're all stuffed in. I like that rhyme. Finally, they both came. That was good, said Socrates. Thank you. The end. See, very short story. If you thought that was absolutely stupid and ridiculous, you'll really enjoy our next story. It involves the Muppets, specifically Gonzo and his girlfriend, who I believe is named Camilla. Now, what's interesting is Muppets are known for dating outside of their species. I mean, look at Kermit and Miss Piggy. What's different about Camilla is, you know, she's a chicken, but she's just a chicken. She doesn't talk. She's just a chicken. She has no human attributes. So it's kind of strange to think about Gonzo and Camilla fucking, but let's do it. It was a warm, quiet night. The great Gonzo and Camilla the chicken sat on the roof of the Muppets boarding house. Theoretically, they were stargazing, but neither was thinking about the sky. Today had been a good day for them both. Recently, they had become estranged because of Gonzo's identity crisis. Okay. He had lost interest in anything that had been most important to him, including Camilla. Hurt and angry, she snubbed him until today when he had come to her with an apology. Some might say that a few words didn't make up for months of neglect, but she wanted him back more than she wanted to punish him for ignoring her. He said he wouldn't do it again, and she believed him. Stupid bitch. He's just gonna hurt you again. Once a cheater, always a cheater. Alright. He hugged her close. She pressed against him, warm and soft and fluffy. Gonzo thought maybe there was a better place for them to be now than a rooftop. He paused, considering, and then clucked to her. Best I can do, guys. Chicken speak was an earthy language, and he could say things to her that way which would have been impossible or at least mortally embarrassing otherwise. She stifled a laugh. Gonzo could speak chicken fluently, but his accent was atrocious. She replied, agreeing with him wholeheartedly. Then she pecked his shoulder. The Electric Mayhem's psychedelically painted bus was parked on the grass by the side of the building. The door was closed, but one could open it by pulling the rubber flap to the side. Janice had shown Gonzo that trick once and explained that they used to tour in the bus. Now she's too busy with her new band, the Black Eyed Peas, where she's known as Fergie. Alright, back to the story here. She does look a lot like Fergie. Let's just get to the sex. It had not come as much of a surprise to Camilla that pain excited Gonzo, considering what a kick he got out of doing bizarre stunts. She had to teach him what turned chickens on, though. Fortunately, he had been a very willing student, eager to learn and not afraid to take chances or look ridiculous. That had been years ago. Now they were comfortable enough together not to have to bother with signals or safe words. Gonzo's into some S&M action. They could respond to each other on a nearly instinctive level. It was fun to get him all worked up, and it made her feel pretty warm as well. Let's get ready for some chicken sex. His hand stroked through her soft, warm feathers, and his chest pressed against her back. She sighed happily and turned her tail feathers to the side, out of the way. He leaned forward enough to rest his head where her shoulders would be if hens had shoulders. When chickens mated, the rooster perched atop the hen. That kind of balancing act would not work for them, as they found out early on. Gonzo had learned that hens found the feeling of being mounted very sexy. He caressed her and gently thrust into the feathers below her tail. That also turned Camilla on, but it required a lot of self-control for Gonzo. Feathers are tickly. One hand slipped down between her legs. He parted her feathers, revealing her cloaca, and carefully entered her. You're gonna get chicken shit all over your cock. She squawked in excitement and leaned back against him. A wave of pleasure, warm as a mother hen's feathers, washed through her as Gonzo moved within her. He took it smooth and slow. He was built differently from a rooster. In Camilla's opinion, the rooster was the short end of the stick. Roosters regarded the whole flock as their harem and rarely felt the need to give any hen special attention for long. On the other hand, Camilla knew that although Gonzo still flirted with other hens, he was hers. They were lovers, not members of a breeding flock, and he treated her with touching tenderness. And she thought, as she squawked again, he was good in the nest. Floyd and Janice had been watching in stunned silence. They knew that Gonzo and Camilla had been dating for years, but somehow they hadn't pictured anything like this. Janice said softly, "Oh, wow, isn't that romantic?" Floyd laughed. "Sure is. Now we'll find out which comes first, the chicken or Gonzo." "Oh, stop," she said, and pushed his shoulder, but she was laughing too. Unaware of anything but each other, Gonzo and Camilla made nonsensical sounds to each other. Nonsensical sex sounds. Occasionally breathing each other's names as they made love. His hands caressed her belly, chest, and neck. His arms tightened slightly on each forward stroke. Her cries of pleasure applauded his efforts and urged him on. Soon Gonzo began to pick up the pace. The fuse was lit! His excitement, voiced as indrawn gasps, was contagious. Camilla felt herself coming close as well. A sudden impish thought struck her. She twisted her neck around and bit his nose. The unexpected flare of sensation made him yelp. His arms tightened around her as he climaxed. She pressed back against him, her wings flicking as if trying to take off backwards, and crowed raucously. The moment was soon over. Still kneeling over her, Gonzo ruffled her feathers gently as he caught his breath. That had been a good one. He had been happy about getting back together with Camilla. Now he felt wonderful about it. He never wanted to let her go. He leaned back against the side of the bus and stretched his legs, which had been threatening to cramp. Camilla sat between his legs, her head against his chest, making contented purring clucks in her throat and gazing up upon him. He put one arm around her and scratched behind her wattles. She closed her eyes and fluffed out the feathers on her head. Janice turned to Floyd to comment. He was no longer standing on the chair beside her and watching. He leaned against the bus as if bored. She said, "Why aren't you watching? This is so sweet." He answered, "Sure, babe, just keeping an eye out for sleepwalkers. Don't want someone else getting the same idea and walking in on them, or anyone less hip than us getting curious." "For sure," she agreed, and leaned down to kiss him on the cheek. As she was looking back, she said, "Hey, what do Gonzo and an egg have in common?" "What?" "Camilla lays them both." Da-da-da-da-da-da. The end. There you go. That's your Sextastic Tuesday for June 7th, 2011, brought to you by our good friends at AdamandEve.com. For a limited time, they've got an amazing deal. You can save 50% on just about any item by using coupon code FREAK at checkout. That's F-R-E-A-K. Find something you like, whether it be lingerie, some sex toys, maybe a pocket pussy, some male masturbators, a dildo, whatever, lubes, movies. They got it all. Pick something you like, enter coupon code FREAK at checkout. You'll see that the new price is reflected. Plus, you're going to get free shipping, 3 free adult DVDs, and a mystery gift, all for using coupon code FREAK. Again, that's 50% off just about any item using coupon code FREAK at AdamandEve.com. And with that, let's get into the crazy, bizarre, twisted, and fucked up news right now. Not a member of the Distorted View Sideshow? What are you waiting for? It's only $5 a month or $50 a year. Superfreaksideshow.com. For paying members today, I've got an extended show. Thursday's program will be Sideshow exclusive. And, of course, I'll try to do a video cast for you this week as well. A lot of great reasons to sign up for the Sideshow. Full access to the entire archive of programs, plus all of the exclusive content. Sign up right now. Superfreaksideshow.com. Support the program. 3 quick stories, and then we'll get the hell out of here. First up, I've got to tell you about the latest suicide craze sweeping the U.S. A young woman has committed suicide using a deadly chemical recipe she found on the internet, one of over 35 cases in the U.S. in the last 2 years alone. According to police, had the chemical cloud that killed 23-year-old Anna Gutierrez in Hollywood escaped from her car, many others could have also been killed. The lady is the latest in a series of suicide cases in which people have used chemical cocktails to kill themselves. She planned the suicide on May 23rd with a man she met online. He later backed out of the scheme because it was, quote, crazy. Police say they are troubled by how frequently this particular method of suicide is becoming, with 35 cases nationwide in the past 2 years. How do you make the chemical concoction? Let me help you out. I'm Leanne Paisley Howell, and coming up on today's Simple Living, homemade douches. How rose petals, vanilla extract, and Drano can freshen up even the most rancid lady ditch. Plus, I'll show you how to craft a charming steel trap Negro catcher for your yard. Keep those unwanted pests away from your home garden and white women once and for all. And getting fecal bloodstains out of underwear using the power of your dishwasher. But first, chemical suicide cocktails. When it's time to end it all, don't break the bank with expensive guns or pills. I'll show you how to terminate your life on a budget. It's all coming up today on Simple Living. Whether you're upset because your wife is a cheating whore and you just found she'll sleep with anything that has two or more legs, or you've just come to the grim realization about the pointlessness of your mundane life, chemical suicides are sweeping across the globe as depressed Asians step back from the ledge and open their refrigerator. I'll share one simple recipe to end your own life right now. You'll need a bottle of ammonia, one head of lettuce, 3 tablespoons of extra virgin olive oil, cilantro, a bag of frozen peas, finely grated Parmesan or Romano cheese, and bleach. First, mix the peas, cheese, cilantro, and lettuce together in a bowl, drizzling the olive oil sparingly. Next, mix a 50-50 blend of ammonia and bleach into a bowl. Smell that mixture. You're dead. The lettuce, peas, and cilantro were just to confuse the police and medics who will find your rotting corpse in a day or two. Wasn't that easy? Now that's what I call simple living. Or should I say, simple killing. When we come back, how a single Ritz cracker and an issue of Shape magazine can lure even the most stubborn anorexic out of hiding. Fuck this podcast. I'd much rather watch Leanne Paisley Howell try to lure an anorexic out of hiding with a Ritz cracker. Back to the story here. They originally popped up overseas. This most publicized one was in Japan, where a porn star posted that she was going to do it, and she did, referring to suicide. The Los Angeles County Coroner spokesman Ed Winter said his office has been aware of the website, which was used in the Hollywood, California case. One big breath and boom, that's all it takes. Said there were about 6 bottles of chemicals in the car where the woman was found. For officers working the case, it brought back memories of a 2009 incident in Pasadena. A shopping center was evacuated after a 23-year-old man carried out a similar suicide, posting notes on the outside of a car with a skull and crossbones warning of chemical dangers. In that case, the car was locked in 100-degree heat, but there were no injuries to officers who wore protective gear to open it. The common link in these suicides is the use of lethal chemicals in an enclosed space, usually a car, and the signs posted to warn that there's a potential for a larger catastrophe if the poisons are released into the area. While most suicides affect only the deceased and their families, these cases have the potential to kill strangers. Whatever. All right, I lost interest in that story after the Simple Living segment. Second story we have for you today, this one comes from Texas. James Hawken is a Memphis man charged with first-degree murder in the death of his live-in girlfriend, Charlene Gaither. Hawkins is accused of killing Gaither. After the murder, Hawkins admitted to police that he cut off Gaither's hands, head, and feet before dumping her torso in a secluded area and other body parts in another location. Now, here's the thing. I kind of understand why, you know, if you kill someone, you'd want to then rip off some of their body parts, because it's easier to dispose of. They're lighter, basically. You know, 120-pound woman cut up into more manageable, you know, 12 or 20-pound bits makes the lifting and hiding much, much easier. Now, the problem is now you've got multiple body parts all over the place, and it only takes the discovery of one of those limbs to cause a lot of headaches for you. I mean, the discovery of just one little pinky Now you got the police involved, and that's a real pain in the ass. All right, Hawkins admitted to police that he cut off Gaither's hands, head, and feet before dumping her torso in a secluded area and other body parts in another location. Hawkins allegedly forced his daughter, who was 12 years old at the time, to help him dismember her mother's body. Hawkins' defense is arguing that his daughter killed her mother, and then he helped her cover it up. Hawkins tried to plead guilty to dismembering the corpse and filing a false report, but the judge would not consider his pleas since he said they should have been entered before the jury was sworn in. Judge Chris Kraft said on the first day of the testimony that because the jury has already heard the charges, it would prejudice them.
A black woman stole my fiancé. He stole my prejudice.
Ending a news story about dismembering your wife with a Lifetime Movie of the Week clip. That's Distorted View for you. Ding! Final story we have for you today. Police arrested a man in South Memphis on Saturday after he allegedly threatened the host of a child's birthday party with a gun. Why, you ask? Because his children didn't get any cake or ice cream. Joseph Hayes, 48, was arrested late Saturday night and was charged with aggravated assault. According to a police affidavit, Hayes became very upset and began yelling at the victim because, quote, y'all didn't... That's right, y'all. Y'all. Y'all didn't save my kids no damn ice cream and cake. End quote. Hayes then left the party and went to his apartment. According to the affidavit, he returned with a small black handgun tucked into the back of his pants, approached the host, lifted up his shirt and said, I ain't scared to go to jail, just take care of my kids. The host then probably called the police and said she was in fear of her life. After being arrested, Hayes told police at 201 Poplar that he did not bring a gun to the party, just an object that looked like one when tucked in his pants. Hayes' bond is set at $30,000 and is scheduled to appear in court on Monday, so there you go. That, my friends, is your Distorted News for Tuesday. Let's do a couple voicemails and get the hell out of here. All right, freaks, speak to me, please.
Sure. I shall remember TJ from Chicago, member of
Jim Henson Boy Pussy Posse, I suppose. I don't know if you've ever talked about this on your show. I can't remember. If you have, I apologize for wasting your time. But I know you're a fan of Wondershowzen, so
yes.
I figured that this would be something you'd be very interested in. Back in, like, I believe it was 2007, the guys who created Wondershowzen stumbled upon this company. And what this company does is if you send them a couple of $1,000 and a script, they will make a porno for you based on that script. And it could be about anything as long as it's not breaking any sort of federal laws.
Are you fucking kidding me?
So when they found out about this, they immediately got together some extra money, wrote a script, sent it out to them, and they actually got their porno made. And this porno is called Final Flesh, and it's about as insane as you would expect from a porno written by the guys who made Wondershowzen. And I actually own a copy of this movie. I don't remember where I got it because it's not easy to find. But I have it, and if you want it...
No!
And I know you're a fan of Wondershowzen.
I don't want that! I want to make my own! Find me the name of that company, and I will somehow scrape up the money, and we are going to get a porno made, freaks.
I figured you'd probably want it if you don't have it already. I will send it to you. Yeah, I guess that's it. Just let me know.
I mean, a couple thousand dollars is a lot, but I mean, it's worth it, in my opinion.
Shagoo Tim, this is Rob from Cleveland, and I'm actually in Cleveland for the weekend. This is one of those May days. Anyways, I just drove past the Fox 8 News station, and I just wanted to mention that because you seem to rip on Fox 8 whenever you talk about how much you hate the news. Just wanted to point that out.
That damn Wayne Dawson.
Anyways, I'm sitting here
Dick
with
Goddard.
Erica, my fiance. She's the one that called into your show a few years back and started the Wing Was on South Park kick.
Oh.
That became, yeah.
You're the bitch who has made my life a living hell.
Like a big thing on your show. Yeah, that's her.
She's your fiance,
anyways,
huh?
Fuck you too. Anyways,
don't expect any wedding gifts from me.
I just wanted to point that out. I'll keep listening to your show.
I'm gonna send you the complete works of Wing.
Hey Tim, but you remember Keen?
Hi Keen.
I was wondering. We have an anime convention where I live at near the in mid-August, and a very stereotypical tons of nerd, very, very annoying people.
Okay.
But what they do is, I'm sure you know what cosplaying is, you know, they dress up like their favorite anime or video game character. And I was wondering if you would like me to dress up as my favorite character, who is in fact the DV Trent. I'm not joking, I would actually be willing to do this, but first off, I'd like to know if you're interested, because I'm not going to do it just for my own.
Yes, I'm very interested. No one has dressed up like the DV Tranny, and I'd be interested to see how one would pull that off.
Funny. Secondly, I want to know, would you or any of the freaks be able to, I'm not necessarily asking to send emails, but do you know where I could get, you know, things cheap? Because I don't want to waste too much money on stuff. I don't even know where to begin looking for a ball gag.
AdamandEve.com.
Yeah, if you're interested, any help, advice, whatever, it was great. And I'll get those pictures sent to you.
Yeah, because you have to get the ball gag, and then it also has to say DV on it, right? If you really want to be authentic. Look, if you do it, there's $50 in it for you from me.
Hey, Tim. This is the Stinky Asian, one of your Spice Show listeners. And I am officially 1 year behind in shows. I just listened to the...
kind of like my voicemails.
Let's see here. The 2010 March... No. Let's see here. 2010...
Okay. It doesn't matter. You're a year behind. I get
anyway,
it.
Anyway. Yeah. It was a while ago. And so... Yeah.
That's what... Okay, great. Great call. Thank you very much.
Tim, this is a white man in Alaska. On the May 24th show, you suggested to homosexuals that they not act like flaming faggots.
Did I say that?
That's kind of your bread and butter, Tim.
I do not act like a flaming... I am not... Listen, honey!
To stop their TNG.
Who the hell do you think you are? All right. Enough. Oh, I see what you're saying. Flaming faggots are my bread and butter because I play them on my show. I thought you were calling me a flaming faggot. I get so defensive.
Jagu, Tim.
It's a little too close to home.
Jagu, Tim. It's Vince from Seattle. I sent
you
the white nigger.
What?
My fellow niggatarian.
Oh, yes.
Hey, Tim.
Yes. Okay. What was that? I don't know what she said. I heard that there was a solid bowel movement there. Thank you, sir.
Hello, Tim. My name is Dave, and I'm a Yagnat. This message is for Simon and Lewis, who have been using your quotes in their videos on YouTube. Most recently, I enjoyed hearing them drop your full name in a children's fundraiser, which was quite funny to me.
What?
But I think if they're going to use your stuff, they should definitely give a big shout-out to Distorted View.
Wait a second, what? Who's you? What?
Hello, Tim. My name is Dave, and I'm a Yagnat.
I don't know what that means.
This message is for Simon and Lewis, who have been using your quotes in their videos on YouTube.
Listen, Simon and Lewis, give me credit, and also let me know what your YouTube channel is, because I want to see how you do that. How you do it. How you use me.
Loot Banana speaking. Hey, I love all my fellow freaks out there, and I mean absolutely
but...
no disrespect to anybody else in the community.
But
I suggest a 2-call-per-week limit into the Oh God voicemail line.
Yeah.
A lot of
yes.
you guys are really funny and have very interesting things to say. I'd hate for you to be played out before your time has come. But, while considering, please play either Stevie Walker or some juicy cum farts.
Making me angry here!
Hey, Tim. It's Lifetime Sideshow member Spider here.
Hi, Spider.
Hey. And man,
sounding depressed and or high.
Probably about a month or so, I'm going to be getting extensive reconstructive bone surgery. Basically, they're just going to
that
like,
bitch of a girlfriend claw out your skin and rip out your bones or something. Blood
break
play.
Most, if not all, the bones in my feet and cut off a lot of it.
What the fuck?
So,
explain yourself. Well, you can't just say, the doctor's going to have to take out all the bones in my feet and replace them with new ones without explaining why.
Yeah, and I plan on listening to Distorted View while I'm bedridden for the next 4 months.
Well,
I also...
I forgot to tell you, I'm taking the next 4 months off. That really is awful. It sucks for you.
Just recently purchased a 6.1 surround sound system, so I plan on blasting that to the neighbors.
Nice. Well, I'm sorry you're going through that, Spider. I don't know what the hell's wrong with you, but Godspeed.
Fuck. I hate calling twice in a row. In fact, this is the first time I've ever done it. I usually wait like 6 hours before I even leave another message to ensure that it'll be on another show. This one might actually be right after the other, so I'm going to hate myself. I'm sorry. This is Fatty Cakes again, and I might as well call while this is still relevant. The May 26th show, you're talking about deep throating. Yeah, I don't have very much of a gag reflex. I found this out years ago when I was a kid, but it's
going
to become more relevant now.
As you get older, that becomes a very useful talent.
It's only become more relevant now. Recently, I found
now
out
that I'm sucking way more dick. Yes, go on.
Tolerant, and I love milk. I love everything about the sweet creaminess of milk and other dairy products. So for the past 5 or so days, I've been dying, and it's at that point where I want to vomit, but I can't, and I've actually even had, like, my phone in my hand with, you know, just sort of you on speed dial. Unfortunately, I couldn't puke, and I've tried so many things.
At least
I've
you tried.
My fingers down my throat, I've wiggled them, I've even cock-gagged myself on a dildo, and nothing worked.
You really can't puke yourself. I feel so bad for you. You got an upset stomach, you somehow can't puke, you have no gag reflex, so you can't make yourself puke.
I can actually deep throat.
She even tried cock gagging, poor girl.
Oh, no. It takes a little getting used to. What you do is, to start off, is get your throat used to feeling something there.
Uh-huh.
So what you do is you take your left hand and...
Ladies, pay attention. This one's for you.
Take your left hand and wrap your fingers around your thumb and squeeze. And use your other hand to start just fucking your throat. It actually, you don't have much of a gag reflex doing that, so you'll get what I have on a regular day. And that's how you start getting used to it. And then after a while, it gets easier to start fucking things into your throat. So I may actually, one of these days, send a video of me deep throating the dildo I got from Adam and Eve, thanks to you.
Yeah, using coupon code
free.
I'm also
from Canada, as I've mentioned in previous calls.
Yeah, you sound a little
So that
Canadian.
May be why it actually... charge me $10 at Adam and Eve.
Oh, I thought you were going to say that's why you don't have a gag reflex, because you're
that
Canadian.
That doesn't matter. I'll be getting it by the end of June. Hooray! So I'll be 20 when I get it. Other than that, I don't even know.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much for that deep throat voicemail
call. Fuck it. Chop it up and fuck it. Pussy. Chop it up and eat it and fuck it. Yours.
All right. All right. And finally today.
Hey, Kevin. Tone Deaf Sean here.
There he
hey,
is.
Hey, I'm calling about that documentary you just played with the fat kid. He's my baby. He's my baby. You know, he was new agent for himself. Yeah, this really pisses me off. I mean... Can't the documentary people sit this kid down and say, look, Billy or Junior or whatever your name is, do you understand what a burden you are to your parents? I mean, this is fucking
very
ridiculous.
True.
I don't know. It just...
Tone Deaf Sean calls every time something upsets him. Like a clip or something. All right, that is all the time we have on this edition of the show. I want you guys to email me, show at distortedview.com. Distortedview.com is our official website. Voicemail line for you, 206-666-4463. That's 206-666. Oh, God, it's no God.
I'm piloting the pussies.
Spread the distortion to all your friends about the podcast. If you're sideshow freaks, stick around for extended content. Otherwise, I will see you back tomorrow for the Wednesday program. Until then, have a great day. Bye, everybody. That's all.